Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Operation Shoebox, European Sharia, Filipino Believers, Cameroon, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Vietnam, Israel, Iran, and more as we have time. As Christmas nears, persecution of Christians does not end. In fact, as it approaches, persecution ramps up. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 14th day of November, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the latest programs, listen to the radio shows and Bible studies, and also you can read the featured post by the Watchman. The featured post this week, The Attack to Defrock America and Its Dream. Devious Media, Scheming Socialists, and the Takedown of America. Also, what is truth? Credulity, choices, and the consequences. Biblical truth is at odds with human endeavor, aspirations, goals, and the daily grind of human life on planet Earth. God gave all people choice. It is in their best interest to make the best ones. In this we find credulity, lots of choices, and the consequences of these decisions. America, blessing or cursing, a personal note. By God's grace, we endure from faith to faith, day to day, and pass by from trouble to endurance to an overcomer. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the latest shows and also read the featured post by the Watchman. You can follow us on Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or WGS_Watchman. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WarnRadio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10, through chapter 32. Verse 2. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13 through chapter 14, verse 9. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 1 through verse 50. Also, John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. And tonight on the show, the WIBR Warn Radio fulfills a ministry of advocacy for the persecuted church through its broadcasts, websites, and social media to bring awareness of our brethren around the world. Brethren, It is here that prophecy, gospel news, and Christian persecution coverage in these end of days. Today we cover these stories as we have time. Operation Shoebox, European Sharia, Filipino Believers, Cameroon, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Vietnam, and Israel, Iran. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our Prophecy News Hour, latest news, articles, and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, here we are. Now, you were telling me, what, halfway through the month?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I'm still in...
October?
Well, I was thinking more like May. That was
the
a good
springtime.
Well, at any rate, I was down at the river today with the dog, with Satyrs, and she was busy with things, and I was watching the geese. I've been posting a few pictures of the high-flying geese over coming in. We've had a lot of waves of them. We get a lot of them down here, and they go up and down the Platte here, and there are a lot of people that feed them. But we've got a group that comes back here every year, and in the middle of the Platte, there's kind of a rocky, it's not a sandbar, but it's a rocky high spot in the river, and when the river goes down low, that's where the geese go, right in the middle of the river. And so they spend the winter there, and then in the spring they have their kids, and boy, they've been out in frigid. So we got them back. They haven't been there. They disappear for the summer, and then they come back. You can, just like clockwork, when you see the Canadians in the middle of the river, that means it's pretty much season. And Tower told me the official day of winter, and we're not quite there yet.
December 1st.
Yeah, that was a clue. I didn't have the heart to tell you, but she doesn't mind. Oh, I'm not ready for winter, but we are, because I saw the birds, and I'm ready. It's been cold here though, and for us, cold, and we've had snow, and the garden's put up. We got the garlic planted for next year, so everything's in the mode, and we're getting ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and all the others.
I can't believe that Thanksgiving is next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. That's incredible.
Yeah, so at any rate, we're getting into that. And of course, you go through the stores and everybody's already Christmas shopping. And our grandson has a birthday in November, so, we're automatically shopping. So we get in that mode ahead of time. But... the bottom line of it is for any of the seasons, Tower, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite, because it gives us time to thank the Lord and be thankful.
I know. You can reflect on the past year and all the things that He's done and what we have lots to be thankful for.
Well, see, Thanksgiving is an American holiday. And if you are, whether you're a whatever, ethnic origin you are, if you're an American, this is our holiday. And while some of the Indians deny that, in fact, a lot of the Indians, have become quite adept at enjoying America. Of course, I was raised right smack dab in an Indian reservation. I'm not Indian, but I had Indian buddies. I had Mexican buddies, and I had hippie buddies, and I had cowboy buddies. I didn't have any African-American buddies, because we didn't have any African-Americans in our town. So during the 60s, when a group came in to protest, they were all African-Americans. The sheriff went over to them, said, if you want to protest, go ahead, but you're the only, 10 blacks in the whole city, so...
Yeah.
They left.
Yeah.
So at any rate, but today, Well, at any rate, back to Thanksgiving. It is an American holiday. George Washington gave the first proclamation. It is 100% American, and it was designed in the beginning to give thanks to Almighty God for his blessing, allowing the pilgrims to be here. And while we have a lot of anti-Americans and other radicals who just despise the whites and the America and come in here and everything else, it was the Lord's doing, whether you like it or not. And you bunch of perverts and weirdos out there need to get your head out of the nether region and understand that this nation has fallen from what its original purpose was. And God raised it, and God will bring it down. And your bunch of pomping around and being a pain in the butt and trying to cause trouble isn't going to get anything for you. And so, having said that, we want to get to what we're here for. We're here for the advocacy of the persecuted church. And, I think, Tower, this is probably, I feel, besides, we have important teaching and preaching the Word of God, but I feel this is one of the most important broadcasts we do.
Oh, I do too. We've got to get this out about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. A lot of people wouldn't know anything otherwise. They just don't get the information, or not anything against them or anything. Not saying that. But it's good that we are able to get this out.
Well, on Instagram, we have a lot of people that we follow, and people follow us. But I follow some people that, you can, if you follow us, you will get the whole nine yards. I mean, we have a lot of people that we follow that are major in what we do and in
helping these people
and things like that. And one of them is Samaritan's Purse. And Tower is going to just do a little word about Operation Shoebox off the cuff.
Oh, I am? Okay, well, I love Operation Shoebox. And I seen a picture of a little child smiling, holding their box, and it just brings joy to you. It just brings joy to see that smile on that child's face and getting a gift that they might not ever get any other time of the year. And I've read stories from some of these children when they're in their teens now, and when they were children, they received a shoebox. They still have the stuffed animal that came in it, and it was such a special blessing to these children. They live in poor nations, and their parents are poor and can't do things for them, and it's a blessing. And one year we took our grandson was with us, and we took him shopping. He was probably five. And he picked out a shoebox, and he was going around the store picking out stuff to put in it for him. And he says, I want him to have this, and I want him to have that. And we had a great time and it's a great lesson to teach kids on giving.
National Collection Week, there's an article. It's over on your right-hand side at the top. You can use some of that, but on our Instagram, I forgot that's the one of the articles I had there. If you look at it, it shows one of those kids. Now, they do this in America as well as overseas. And I don't know. He started out this a long time ago, didn't he?
Yes, I don't know how long ago, but it's been going on for several years. And you can shop online for the kids on Samaritan's Purse. They have a place where you can go and pick the age group you want, and whether a boy or a girl. And so then it takes you through the gifts you can pick out. And I think that's a great idea.
25 years they've been doing this.
Have they?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That would put it about 1993.
Yeah.
And You can do at Operation Christmas Child or pound I packed a shoebox. So at any rate, we do this every year. I like to do it from his website as well. With the kids, it's always good to go in here. And of course, what's that Christian store up here? The
Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby.
They'll also give you a 40% discount.
Yes.
You can get a 40% coupon for off one item.
So I want to mention Hobby Lobby because they are Christian. Make no mistake, they're not open on Sundays, but the bottom line of it is that they do put Christian books in there, Christian art items. They have all kinds of things. It's a good store.
They have signs, you know, little posters and signs with scripture on it. And
they have the box in there for Samaritan's Purse and everything you need. So if you have a Hobby Lobby, go on down there. If you don't, go on over to samaritanspurse.org. And I think it's samaritanspurse.org.
Let me see if I can find it.
I'm trying to think. I've been over there 100 times, but a lot of times, SamaritansPurse.org. Yeah, that's it. So at any rate, because they do it overseas, and we appreciate Franklin Graham a lot. He is everywhere. He was at the fires, and then one week he was somewhere across the world, and in the middle of the week he was somewhere else.
He was also down south when they were having those horrible flooding from the hurricane and hurricanes.
He literally goes everywhere, and then he's got people that actually wasn't at the fires. What it was is the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, their big organization, which Franklin Graham has, of course, some input into quite a bit, major since it's his dad. But they had one of the main people out there that heads up the relief organization. They had that on our Instagram. And so, at any rate,
the last day for the shoebox is the 19th.
Yeah, so we're gonna get ours getting done.
And you can, if you purchase your items, you in town, there's a place you can find for your drop-off location.
Yeah, you got to drop them off. We got a big church over here, and it's one of the things that they do. So at any rate, let's move on. I wanted to be sure we got in the middle of that. And I put this up front, and Tower, you're going to be doing the news shorts here in a second, but
okay.
I wanted to get this European human rights thing. I wanted to discuss this a minute. I mentioned this, I think, the last show or so, it's just absolutely unconscionable that they ruled that the criticism of Muhammad, the founder of Islam, constituted incitement to hatred and therefore is not protected free speech. Now, the bottom line of it is that I don't like incitement to hatred, but see, when you're talking about the Muslims, all you have to do is be a Christian, and they're rioting because you are unclean. And we've reported this from one corner of the globe to the other. Well, we've stayed here. We didn't move to the corner of the globe. I've got to watch how I say this. But from our broadcast studio, we cover these stories from around the world. And Tower, it doesn't take much to get these people incited and wanting to kill people.
That's right. It doesn't.
And Asiya Bibi, and you know, is just one of the cases. You know, and we got an update on her, and that is very disturbing.
Yes, it is.
At any rate, to have the European court come out, that might sound like the thing to do. But what happens is, this Strasbourg, I think that's, where is Strasbourg? Is that in Sweden, or is that in Belgium, or is that in Germany?
Maybe Germany? I'm not sure.
Well, I thought it was, you know, I don't know. I need to look at my map. But it has jurisdiction over 47 European countries. And the rulings are legally binding on all 28 member states of the European Union. Now, this is a bunch of hogwash.
Yes, it is.
But it all came to came to fruition in a case involving this young woman who was an Austrian woman. She was convicted in 2011 of denigrating religious beliefs. And we did cover this a little bit, but, you know, the bottom line that we have is that she was given some lectures about the dangers of fundamental Islam, which there's a lot of dangers. And just and we see this same kind of stuff here in America when we have people that were former Muslims who are now Christians who try to bring out some of the dangers. Now, the bottom line with a lot of these people, including these judges, they just have no understanding of what the problem really is here. And what she talked about, Muhammad was a pedophile because he married his wife Isha when she was six or seven, and they consummated it about nine. But so they didn't like that. And anything like that is, if you mention anything in Muhammad, in the context of anything, the Muslims want to kill you. We found that all right already in Europe and even in the UK. We see it constantly around the world in Muslim nations. And if you have a Sharia law, we right now, this because of this midterm election, we got three people elected. We've got one major Muslim dude who is now the Attorney General in Minnesota. And there's two young Muslim women who are now elected to the House. And the bottom line here is that they all support Sharia law. And so this is how they all get in. And I don't have any problem with people of different religions doing things, but we're not interested in your political left-wing ideologies and wanting to make America what it isn't. But that's beside the point. The whole point of it is right now is that this thing is growing, and it's really getting ready for the end of days, and you can see it. So you need to pay attention to what's going on in your districts, and it is not unusual to see courts, you know, do things that are harmful to their people. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. And with that, we're ready for you in the news shorts.
Okay. First up is Asiya Bibi. She was released from prison, and as fake news reports, that put her family in danger. But although a number of international news outlets, including the BBC, initially reported that she and her family were being flown out of the country, the Pakistan government later confirmed she is in a safe place in Pakistan. We believe that. Asiya Bibi and her family remain in great danger. And as Barnabas Fund had previously reported, any departure from Pakistan would have to be arranged at a government level, and at present there is therefore no reason for any organization to request donations to help Asiya Bibi and her family leave the country. And there has been speculation in a number of news outlets that the UK government has not joined other countries in offering Asiya Bibi asylum due to the concerns over potential unrest in the UK because they're accepting Sharia law. However, the claim has not been verified, and at this time of writing, the Home Office has not made any official statement on the matter. And after the violent reaction from Islamic hardliners that has already been witnessed on the streets and cities across Pakistan following her acquittal by the Supreme Court, speculative reports about her whereabouts of a potential unrest serve only to heighten security risks. So we need to continue praying for her and her family for safety and to get out of the country.
I do have an update to that again.
Do you? What is it?
Well, the update from another major organization, and I thought I had it in here, and I don't see it, but it had to do with the fact that Asiya Bibi, there was some other legal wranglings in there.
Uh-huh.
Where some of them, the government stepped in again to prevent her from leaving. And the news is so messed up over this, because when we reported it last week, we got it from Barnabas Fund, and we had it confirmed. We had ICC and a number of others. I've looked with Jay Sekulo over there. They don't have anything on it. They're not saying anything. They have some stuff about her being acquitted, but there's nothing else. Right now, it is such a mess. Nobody knows if she's free to leave, if she's not free to leave, if anybody's going to take her, you know, because the word was she was out of the country somewhere. I don't know if she's out of the country. I don't know where she's at. But all we need to do is pray, is because there's a lot of these Muslims, the ones that, you know, that are getting all upset because of this. They're not following what the Supreme Court told them. They're going to riot, and they get in the streets. Now, see,
that's
this
tragic.
Is what the EU court just made possible now in all of Europe. And that is for these Muslims, once they don't like something that you come up with, they'll just riot and cause all kinds of hell. That's what they do. And make no mistake, Islam is not just a religion, it's a political movement, and it ends up taking over your country every time.
Yep, that's right.
And if you don't believe that, you take a look at the UK right now and what's been going on there. They have a mess on their hands over there right now, especially with a lot of these young men carrying knives and stabbing people.
And also throwing acid.
Throwing acid, stabbing people, and even rape gangs, Muslim men rape gangs, have been going on. So it is a mess in places. So at any rate, go ahead. You can complete. I just want to throw that in.
That's okay. I was done with her. You want me to go on to the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Christian sewer workers in Pakistan. And the Christians are specifically targeted to accept jobs with the Pakistan's dangerous sewer maintenance crews. And despite accounting for less than 2% of the population, the Christians make up over 80% of all sewer workers in Pakistan. In addition, not even the most basic protective equipment is provided to workers, despite lethal gases underground. And Dana, that's not all. I think of all the germs and stuff from this, all the creepy stuff you can get. This is horrible. People are going to get sick and die. And Pakistan's discriminatory policies not only seek out cheap Christian labor for these dangerous tasks, but do little to ensure workers' safety. And uneducated Pakistani Christians find themselves with a desperate choice to make in a country that is openly hostile to their faith. They risk their lives in the sewers or risk losing their only source of income. This is unconscionable that any government would force a person to make such a decision. That's just horrible. I can't even imagine.
Yep, I know. So at any rate,
okay, it's your turn.
I know. I'm having technical difficulties here. We had another update from Windows. And we have another technical problem. So I don't know what we're going to do with this stupid thing. But I'm ending this thing.
You want me to go on with another story?
The video to it totally. It crashed.
Is the audio still going?
Yeah, the audio's still going, but I've lost everything. And, you know, this is... hang on a minute. It's really a pain on this, that's for sure. There is no doubt. I don't know. You know, I get so tired of this that let's see if we can come in. The only problem about this is that it's a little bit, oh boy, that ain't going to work at all. Pain. Yep, I don't know. Yep, I'm going to have to. I don't know. This is such a pain when you're working with this that you have this stuff go on.
Oh, I know.
You know.
It's very frustrating.
And it takes so long to get these things updated. I don't know why I continue to persist in doing this all the time, but you know, the bottom line of it is that's, you know, what we have to do. And it just gets to be a real pain when you're looking at all of this. And it freezes.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, the whole thing just freezes. And so at any rate, we did get some other things, and we only do about an hour of this, so, you know, we're not going to have...
we still got about a half hour to go.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get this thing... fixed. Well, I think that'll work. Okay, hang on. Okay, we lost the video for a while, and so looks like I'm going to have to heal both sides of them and put them together in this. So this video is going to be kind of disjointed, because in the one part we have one part, and in the other part we have the other, and... what problem is one of the software systems that I'm using, because I have to use several systems in order to get this all to work, because we're recording high def as well as audio and streaming the audio out all at the same time, and plus putting, you know, saving all the files. So we're doing everything all at the same time. And so one of the major software is not Windows friendly. And, so it's really one of those things. So at any rate, we can keep going now, because I did get this thing unfroze, and I'm going to stop using that.
Okay.
It just, you know, there's just nothing. The whole thing is just,
okay.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say irritating.
Okay. Well, let's go on to our stories. We can get them all on.
Well, at any rate, we're going to talk about the Philippines, and we do have friends in the Philippines. We have friends in Australia. We got friends around the world.
In Scotland. And
when you look at a lot of our places where people listen to us, we have two major systems when this goes up. One goes through our websites and Blueberry and through a big network. Then the other one goes through Spreaker and out through iHeart, iTunes, and a big network that way. Just the Spreaker network, we have quite a few off of our American shores, and that means South America, you know, Canada. And, of course, the biggest listening base is in the U.S. and Canada, and then it spreads out. But we do have people that are our friends, and we've known them for a lot of years, and they're from around the world. Now, this has to do with the Philippines. The Philippines, See, Marari, you know, there is a place in the Philippines, in the southern Philippines, and in this case, we're talking about Mindanao. We talk about the southern Philippines where Marawi was, and that's where the ISIS-related Filipinos were at that attacked the city and caused a lot of trouble for quite some time. There's a lot of Sunnis down in that area. Southern Philippines is full of Islamic jihadists down there. And they're not the only ones down there. There's a number of others, not just ISIS. A lot of these people pick up on ISIS because of the name. And but when you get over and you talk about Mindanao, as much as you want to eradicate ISIS, you know, they are just a symptom of the same disease. And that disease is not going to stop. These people feel that once they die fighting for Muhammad and Allah, that they're going to go to heaven. And,
That's so tragic because, boy, they're going to...
Well, there's going to be an awakening, but it's going to be too late. Yep. And you can't tell them anything. At any rate, so... there's been an ongoing situation in about Mindanao. It's a large area. And there are Christians in these areas that are being targeted by these groups. And, of course, a lot of them still like to go by ISIS. A radical Islamic element is there. And... they live in a context where people strongly disagree and would desire them not to be living as a Christian witness. But as God has called them there, they depend on His grace and they navigate those waters on a daily basis. So they're Christians living a light as a Christian witness in Muslim areas, radical Islam, and as we've covered around the world, you find out that it can get really, really bad. And International Christian Concern came out with a report saying that the security forces were targeting gospel workers for harassment and prejudice. And one thing that they mention is the term missionary. Well, in a lot of areas... when we were in Bible school, we had a lot of missionaries going out. But there were a lot of areas that missionaries were not allowed to come in. You couldn't use the term missionary, so they'd go in as a teacher or something else. And so it really does get to be one of those hard things. If you're in an area like this, calling yourself a missionary, you are number one targeted. The word missionary connects you to the Western world. And so it's better to use the national leaders and the national, the native church, I call it, the native leaders and the native churches, and support them because they can get a lot further. And so the main part of what a lot of them do, AMG International doesn't even have missionaries, but they are sending leaders to plant churches and spread the gospel, and this is the way they do it. They go on to say they do see an increased persecution as more people in the community will come to Christ, and sometimes it's driven by things that are outside the actual individual Christian's control, political environment, things that are popping up, and this is what we see, even in Nigeria, especially with the Fulani herdsmen the Christian farmers there. They live for a long time with no problem. And, of course, Boko Haram was said to have infiltrated some of them, and Christians have been slaughtered in that part of Nigeria for a long time now. entire families wiped out. They lose their crops, their houses, everything. So these things do happen, and we've seen it time and time again around the world. Whenever Christians in their churches rub shoulders with radical Islam, Islam always wins. It kills them, slaughters them, does whatever they can. They get away with it. They get out in the bush, and they usually are never brought to justice because they're thugs.
Yeah.
And so this is the problem you have. Now, I'm reporting it, and we get these reports from a lot of organizations that are on the ground. But there's also reports of Muslims that are getting coming to know the Lord. So this is the battle in the end days. This is the battle. And just being a Christian and talking about Christ and carrying the Bible is enough to get yourself killed in these countries, period. You don't even say a word. And if you go into a church or act like you're a Christian or say anything, they'll kill you. They'll even kill each other. And this is how bad it is. The Bible does talk about this line of Ishmael, that they're a line that would get in the face of every other man if you get back into the Torah version of it. And they fulfill that to a letter. And so we're going to move from the Philippines. Now, they're continuing to work in the Philippines. There's a lot of Christians that are doing this. We had missionaries from our school that we knew. Jonathan Glover, wasn't he down there?
Oh, I think, yeah.
Well, there's a couple on my mind about them being down there. But I do know that when they came back, they talked about how easy it is to get killed. And being on the street in the main part of the Philippines, in a big city, it's easy for people, especially Americans, to get killed. He related a report of an American who got killed when he got in an accident in one of the big cities in the Philippines. And the mob just came up, pulled him out of the car, and beat the hell out of him and killed him. And so you can die. I know of another missionary down in another guy. Came from a native report in the Philippines. I mean, in India, where an American, I think he was an American missionary, but he was a missionary and he had his family with him. And they were on a mission, doing something for their work there. And they were sleeping in their car, and a mob of Muslims came up while they were sleeping and threw gas all over the car and lit it on fire. They couldn't get out, and they all died in the fire. And the government did bring some of them to justice, but that's how dangerous it is. And with that, we're going to go to another area, and we bring this up to let you know how bad things can really be. And you ready to do the Cameroon thing?
Is that the flooding?
No.
It's
right below it. So, at any rate.
It won't come up.
What do you mean it won't
come up? Oh, okay, here it is. I read that last week.
Did you?
I think so.
Okay.
I thought I did about...
I didn't think we had covered that.
Maybe we didn't.
We talked about it, but I don't think we got into...
This missionary... what's his name?
If you think you read it, we'll move on. Because we got a lot to cover.
Charles Wesco and his wife Stephanie and their 8 children moved to Barminda, a major city in Cameroon, Northwest Province. And he had only been there for 2 weeks. And he... And his family had been missionaries in Africa. And the West Coast had decided to permanently move to the country from India after a visit there in 2015. So here they are in Barminda. And their objective was to share the love of Christ with people in a very poor and strife-ridden country. His brother Timothy Wesco was told ABC News, and that their passion and that was their life, to share Jesus Christ. But Tuesday morning, while driving into town to go shopping, Charles was shot. He was taken to one of the local hospitals where he was treated by Doctors Without Borders, but he was declared dead shortly after arriving. And his brother said it appears that he was targeted. quite probable because he was Christian and or because he was white and an English-speaking American. He left behind 8 children, and all they wanted to do was share the love of Christ.
That's how dangerous it can be.
Yeah, that's just tragic.
And of course,
the children are young.
They never do catch the perpetrators, almost never.
No.
Now, coming now to Barnabas Aid, it's Barnabas Aid, but their organization is barnabasfund.org. They cover a lot of different things, but, they were talking about Saudi Arabia. Now, a lot of years ago, during the Nixon time, and remember the long gas lines we had?
Yes, I remember.
We did not have enough oil, and they told us that there wasn't enough oil to have. And over the years, and especially today, like right now, in our neck of the woods, there's more oil than you can shake a stick at. They have found new ways of getting the oil. At the time, there was no technology to get it out. This last month, we reported that America had become one of the world's largest exporters of oil and totally changed from where it was in the 70s. But see, in the 70s, the Arabs and the Saudis and all the rest of them with the OPEC going on, the Muslims could really control how the West even reacted to them. And so they could close the pipeline of oil, prices would go up, and the prices went way up. And there was worry about $20 a gallon gas. And so today it's totally changed around. So they were talking about the fact that today in Saudi Arabia, we treat Saudi Arabia as an ally in order to keep stability within the Middle East. And of course, they have a problem with that. And they said the largely unquestioning support of Western governments for Saudi Arabia is an insult to Christ's followers there who live in the shadow of death. And they do. And they listed a number of things that it is. But we know that when, America, it was under the Bush administration, tried to get the UN and everybody to join him to go after Saddam Hussein. When they finally did go in, went in from Saudi Arabia. They had to put their troops down, and there was a lot of things that they had to do. They couldn't go anywhere, practically. They had to have a lot of their own stuff because they were unclean. Couldn't have a Bible. They couldn't do much of any of that. But see, bin Laden started his main onslaught against everybody due to the fact that there was Americans in Saudi Arabia where Mecca was, and he considered that unclean. So it really does get into a rat's nest of problems. So at any rate, it's a capital offense for a Muslim to convert to Christianity in Saudi Arabia. That's pretty much the way it is in almost all the Muslim nations that we cover.
That's exactly right.
They haven't officially, Saudi Arabia hasn't officially executed Muslims that convert. Some converts have been murdered by family members. And that also, we see that in America. That's happened in America. The number of Saudi nationals who are Christians is unknown. And even for foreigners, it's not advisable or safe to be openly Christian in Saudi Arabia. It's illegal to manifest any religion publicly except Islam.
Wow.
And that's what I mean. I mean, you couldn't even carry a Bible there. But if you were a Christian and you were in Israel, there are places where radical Jews are at, the ultra-Orthodox and others. Christianity and Christians are not friends. You can find yourself, especially at the hands of some of them down there, you can get beat up or killed. And they've even thrown some of them in jail over there. There's a lot of Christians among the foreign workers there, and we knew that.
Yeah.
But when they get in there, they have to worship in secret and private meetings, and even these can be raided. And any active Christians, even expats from the West, can be deported.
Wow.
And if you're a non-Westerner, you know, being a Westerner helps you in the fact that they don't kill you right away, hopefully. They just deport you. But non-Westerners can face imprisonment and torture. And in Saudi Arabia, no non-Muslim public buildings are permitted. Now, see, according to this latest prince that's in power, he said all that's going to be changing. and he was even doing some stuff to stop the Wahhabism that's there and the imams and the way they were preaching. Now, I don't know if he's going to ever get it done, but there was some changes. So the big problem that Barnabas makes, and that is, well, and it's the same thing, argument that I meet, why do we treat China the way we do when they are persecuting Christians on a large-scale basis?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do we give aid or help to Pakistan when they're killing Christians and getting them for blasphemy charges, especially like Asiya Bibi, who's now free, but she's still in danger?
Yeah, she's not free.
So there's a lot of these governments that are Muslim that America has dealt with over the years, and American companies have dealt with, and they have an ongoing persecution of Christians and other faiths within their borders. And so this is really, when we talk about it, this is really, you know, the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing we're going to do, we're going to leave this one here now in Saudi Arabia, because there's not much you're going to do about Saudi Arabia, and we'll have to see how it happens. But there is another story out of Pakistan. I'll tell you, they just...
never quits. It's never ending.
It doesn't. Go ahead.
You want me to read that one?
Yeah. It says tower.
Oh, okay.
That's your key word.
Another child was murdered for following Jesus. This Pakistani Christian said, "We live always under the fear of the blasphemy law. Anything we say can be twisted. But we do not just walk away. We have a commission. We cannot walk away."
That's from Open Doors, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Sharoon's first day of school hadn't gone well. He arrived to class, but wasn't allowed to attend because he was wearing the wrong uniform. His teacher even slapped him in front of all the other students. And later that day, when he went to get a drink of water, a Muslim student stopped him because he was drinking from the same cup the Muslim students were sharing. To them, Sharoon was an infidel because of his Christian faith. He should never have even touched the same cup the Muslims were using. Back at home, Sharoon told his mother the other students hated him because of his religion and that he was not comfortable going to school. Still, he reluctantly agreed to return. Sadly, Sharoon's story is not isolated. Today in Pakistan and in other places around the world, believers are facing the fiery furnace for their faith. Under the country's blasphemy laws, believers can be violently attacked or even killed while perpetrators go unpunished. These are the laws under which Pakistani Christian Asiya Bibi was infamously charged with blasphemy, and why she unjustly spent years in prison. In Pakistan and in other countries hostile to Christianity, daily life can be a struggle. Simply following Jesus can cost everything. And this is about the child murdered for following Jesus. Oh, that's still Sharoon. Despite his troubles on his first day and the apprehension he felt about going back, Sharoon went to the school the next day. He was in class when the same Muslim student who had harassed him the day before confronted him. With the teacher out of the room, the student began to beat Sharoon. He continued the beating even after Sharoon fell to the ground. Soon Sharoon lost consciousness, but the beating continued. He would later die from his injuries. As for Sharoon's attacker, he was arrested and jailed, but he eventually walked free. A court found no clear evidence of murder. However, he was ordered to pay Sharoon's family a compensation fee. How much was the life of the innocent boy worth in the eyes of the court? about 13,500. That is just unconscionable. That's horrible.
And that's pretty much the way it works Pakistan.
He should have stayed in prison.
They get away with it. We've been covering this for years, and story after story is the same way. And around the world, we see it. Now, you look in America, Christian church, you're comfortable. And you really remind me of comfortable in need of nothing. It's time for you to wake up. There is another Christianity out there. Make sure you know which one you're on. And that is the one that truly believes in the Lord God. And I tell you, stand up for the persecuted church. That's something you can do in your Western comfortable state. And help organizations like the ones we've mentioned tonight, including Samaritan's Purse, to help those who are persecuted. And they help in the name of Jesus Christ. So do not forget that. And with that, we're coming down to the end of the show. And, you know, Tower, I look at these stories and they are just horrendous.
Oh, they are.
When you
gut-wrenching to me.
When you're thinking about Americans, you know, and how much is a life worth, really? And you look in America, you know, and they couldn't find any evidence. The kid's dead.
Yeah.
But see, none of the other Muslims.
And he was beat to death. What do you mean there's no evidence?
Well, see, the others wouldn't testify, more than likely. Nobody would testify because he was a Christian. He deserved to die. The bottom line of it is this is, you know, a lot of times the parents want their kids to go to these schools so they can better their life. But see, Pakistan is just like India in the fact that they do have a caste system. In India, they have a caste system that also Christians can be put in some of the worst jobs. It's just a Hindu caste system. This one is an Islamic caste system where Christians are absolutely castigated. We have reported on them in many different areas where they work. We have reported on a young married couple that both of them got killed and thrown in the brick kiln and murdered.
Yeah, and left 4 children.
Yeah, and we reported on another little boy. The others, he was walking around there in the brick kiln. They asked him if he was a Christian. He said, yes, they threw him in the brick kiln live and cooked him. I mean, this is the damnable stuff we go on. Now, is it any wonder when you're in Europe and you know the reports coming out of there that fundamental Islam is dangerous? It is dangerous because we report on this every week. We've been covering it like a Sia Bibi from the beginning. I've got 5 major articles covering that from various time points. And to have a bunch of idiot European judges come around and say, well, you know, you're wrong. That's crazy. That's Europe for you. They've always been nuttier than a fruitcake. That's why we all left. That's why our forefathers left Europe, because they were crazy then.
That's right.
So at any rate, it's too bad. Somebody needs to wake up, but, you know, I'm not holding my breath any. But pray for the persecuted church. Help physically, financially, help those ministries that are trying to alleviate and make known the sufferings of the persecuted church. We need to get food, clothing, shelter, safety. We need also people like the ACLJ. Jay Sekulow's organization, who steps in and does the legal work both in our country and overseas. We need a voice for the persecuted church, because folks, if this was you, you would want someone to stand up. God help us when this kind of persecution comes to America. And if you haven't stood up, as you have done it, so shall it be done unto you. He that showeth mercy, to him mercy shall be shown. That's the word of God. So with that, Tower, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, be sure to join us tomorrow night for part 5 of Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, the 4 Horsemen. And good night, everybody. We love you. Thank you for all you do for the King. God bless you richly. We pray for you and we thank you.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
WARN What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
A banner year for your company.
Staples wants to help your business achieve big things with 20% back in rewards on your color printing.
Trust the pros at Staples to print whatever your business needs, like color presentations, brochures, and banners.
Prepare yourself for a banner year and banner savings
with 20% back in rewards on your color printing right now at Staples,
where there's a whole lot in store. And 6/22/19 in store only. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/20 for details.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life, freedom to be tobacco free.